Brethren, I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment to himself." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this feast is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 56 to 59. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, for this feast of Corpus Christi, we render an act of thanksgiving to Almighty God, and in particular to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this great gift that he has given us of the most blessed sacrament of the altar, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And so we all come here, those few of us who are in this little chapel, and we come to not only assist at the Holy Mass, but we come also to make that act of thanksgiving to God for his gift to us, for his mercy. Remember, I told you this quality of mercy which makes a man disposed to do good to those who are in need. This is precisely what happens to us who have received the Holy Eucharist. We receive the greatest of all of the goods that God could give us. We receive his real presence. What greater gift could be given to a man than the gift of God and the gift of the instrument of our salvation and our redemption, the sacred humanity of our Lord and Savior under the appearances of bread and wine? So we come then, as we should at this Mass, to make an act of thanksgiving. We can never be thankful enough to God for this gift of the Holy Eucharist. No priest could ever thank God enough, not only for the gift of the priesthood, but for that which is given to him, perhaps more than to other men, the gift of divine intimacy with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, the priest's communion. No man can begin to explain or to understand or even to appreciate, not even a priest. But along with the priest, should you be thankful to Almighty God for this great gift of the Holy Eucharist. But we do more than that, this Mass. We come also to renew our faith. If you don't practice your faith, it will soon die. That we know. How many people have lost the faith because they are not given the opportunity to practice it. Often because they do not correspond to that invitation from our Lord to come and to make an act of faith. When our Lord performed so many of his miracles, before he would perform them, he would ask the person who asked for a favor, "Do you believe?" All things are possible if you believe. Do you believe that I can do this for you? "Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And so our Lord, after he would perform a miracle, he would say, "It is your faith that has saved you. Go and sin no more." So we have an obligation then at this Mass, not only to renew our thanksgiving, but also to practice our faith and to tell our Lord during this Mass that if there is any truth that we believe with all our hearts, if there is any article of faith that we would express before the greatest enemies of the Church, before the world, before those who do not believe, it is this truth that our Lord has given himself in the Holy Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. Never should we fail to express our faith in this truth. When we have the occasion of bringing someone who does not believe into the Church, the first thing they must do is make an act of genuflection before the tabernacle, expressing our faith before Almighty God and before the rest of the world, before unbelievers, that come what may, no matter what they believe, what they do, we know that our Lord is present in the Blessed Sacrament. We appreciate this gift as much as God will let us, and we express this act of faith in every gesture that we make in church and out of it when we speak about our faith. And that's what we do. I tell you that we have to do two things then, act of thanksgiving and an act of faith. But your act of thanksgiving is empty, isn't it? So is your act of faith little if you do not know why you believe. Or better put, if you cannot appreciate, at least to some extent, what happens to the Church, what happens to each of you by virtue of the reception of this sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And on other years, I have spoken to people about the magnitude of the gift of the Holy Eucharist. This year, I want to tell you about something else. I want to give you reasons why you should appreciate the Holy Eucharist. I want to speak to you, perhaps this year, on a more lofty level, perhaps on a more doctrinal level. I want to tell you why. What happens in this reception of the Holy Eucharist? If you know anything about what we could call this gift of God, Holy Communion, you would know that when you receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, you believe that you receive, under the appearances of bread and wine, you receive the real and true presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his sacred body and blood, in his soul and his divinity, the way our Lord is in heaven just at this very moment, the way he is in the tabernacle as our risen Lord. So is he when he comes to you in the Holy Communion, that you know. But there is something else that you should know. When our Lord comes to you in Holy Communion, even though he comes to you as a risen Savior, he also comes to you under the form of death, under the form of the cross, in the manner of a crucified king. The reason is because he comes to you from the Holy Mass. And when you receive Holy Communion, you receive in a certain manner an extension of our Lord's crucifixion. You are absorbed, as it were. You are, in a figurative manner, nailed to the cross. It's as if when the priest is giving you the Blessed Sacrament, it's as if he is taking a hammer and nails, and as if he were nailing you, you see, right to the cross. It's as if the precious blood that flows from our Lord's side is flowing right on your body, right inside of you, so that the blood of Christ is flowing inside your veins, along with your own blood. It is mingled, just as the water, the drop of water that the priest places in the chalice at the offertory, is completely mingled and scattered throughout the wine. That's what happens, you see, when you receive Holy Communion. You are absorbed into the body of Christ, into his own flesh. He makes your body an extension of his own. What an extraordinary thing that happens, isn't it, when you receive Holy Communion? But there is something even greater that happens, even more profound. It is something that is not isolated, you see, to any individual soul. The gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of Holy Communion, is not meant simply to be shared exclusively by individuals only, as if it is meant to stop there. It is the gift of our Lord to the church at large. There are certain things that Almighty God has given to the world. He has given the benefits of redemption. He gives invitations to those who are outside the church all of the time by actual graces. But the gift of the Holy Eucharist, that is meant for you. That is not meant for outsiders. And in fact, in the early days of the church, the gift of the Holy Eucharist was considered by these earliest apostles and martyrs and confessors to be such an extraordinary gift that it was kept as a secret. The Roman persecutors, the pagans, were not permitted to know this mystery of the Holy Eucharist. It was the secret given only to those who believed. Even the catechumens who wanted to become Christians many, many years ago were only allowed to come up to this very point of the Mass, and then they had to leave. They were not permitted to witness the mystery of the consecration. They were not permitted to look at God under the signs of bread and wine. This was a gift meant only for those who believed. Do you believe that I can do this for you? Yes, Lord, I believe. Then be it done according to your faith. Only because you believe is this gift given to you. The gift of the Blessed Sacrament is the gift above all others given to the church, to you who are in this small chapel. It is meant for you, not for those outside. The reason is because those who have been made members of the church, those who by baptism have received the gift of faith, our Lord, you see, is not satisfied with that. He does not want simply your faith. He wants more. He wants to possess you completely, not simply in your intellect. He wants to possess your entire soul. He wants to possess your body, everything that makes you to be what you are. He wants to own, to make you one with him, so that he may communicate life, communicate strength. And so, he makes the church perfectly one by the reception of the Holy Eucharist. And it is that one truth, above all the others, that I would like you to understand at this Mass, and for this day. The purpose of the Holy Eucharist, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, and this is very lofty, isn't it? Very hard to believe for those whose faith is weak. The purpose of the Holy Eucharist is to make you actually one. You are meant to share each other's heart, each other's mind. You are meant to be so close that there is no bond on earth that can separate you, not just by human affection, but that is meant to be the ground for a divine and spiritual and supernatural tie that makes you absolutely one with each other. The gift, the purpose of the gift of Holy Communion is unity with each other, because we are made one with our King and our Head and our Savior and our Redeemer. We are made one with Him. And as a result of that union, we are made one with each other. We share a solidarity of faith, of hope, and of charity, of love. Love for God and love for each other. What an act of hypocrisy it is for people to receive Holy Communion and have even a particle of hatred for any member of the church, for any member of the body of Christ. It is an act of treachery, an act, we can say, of contradiction to this gift of God, the Holy Eucharist. And do you know how we come to understand this? By the signs that are given to us in this sacrament. Do you see, in the Holy Eucharist, we say that our Lord is really and truly present under the sign of a piece of bread. And St. Paul teaches us someplace in the epistles, he said, as the grains of wheat form a piece of bread, so do we become members of each other. Just as the grains of wheat all have to come together to form one piece of bread. That bread, you see, is transformed into our Lord's real presence. And so the sign, that which is symbolized by bread, is meant to teach you what happens in the Holy Eucharist, what happens when you receive it. Just as the bread is transformed into our Lord's body and blood, so are you who receive it, like the grains of wheat that come together. You are transformed into our Lord's presence in the world. And so our Lord walks out of the church, as it were, in you. He lives inside of you, because you are the grains of wheat. So you see, when the priest takes the bread and offers it at Mass, what is he offering? Only our Lord? No. He's offering you, too. You are just as much on the paten as our Lord is. The priest lifts up the host and says, "Receive, Almighty Father, this immaculate victim which we offer to you for our sins, so that you would forgive us." You are made one together. What a great comfort it is, isn't it, to know that you have true friends in this world. Friends whose tie with each other is based not on superficial things, like if you like the same books, or if you like the same food, or the same movies, or the same clothes. Your friendship is based on something far deeper than that. Your friendship is based on your eternity. Your friendship is based on God. And that friendship was made for you by the Holy Eucharist. And so our Lord said before he died that they may be one, even as you and I, Father, are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfectly one. How much you should share unity with each other. How much your heart should go out to each other, because your hearts go out to our Lord. That is the gift of the Holy Eucharist, you see. It is the gift of union. And our Lord does this for another purpose. And that brings me to another great truth that I want you to understand at this Mass. The reason why our Lord desires to make you one, to absorb you into his own flesh. You know what one of the saints says? When you approach Holy Communion, you should feel as if you are drinking right from the heart of Christ. It's as if our Lord is giving you the cup of blood filled into a chalice. And our Lord is giving you to drink a portion of it. It's as if our Lord is taking a piece of his flesh and having you eat it. That's precisely what happens when our Lord gives you Holy Communion. You are drinking from the heart of Christ so that you may be nourished, made strong. And the reason why our Lord wills to make you a part of his flesh and blood, a part of his human soul, and more, a part of his divinity. What do we say in the offertory when the priest pours that drop of water in the wine? God, you who condescended to become a part of our humanity, make us through the reception of this Holy Eucharist a sharer in your divinity. That's what we ask. That's precisely what happens when you receive Holy Communion. You become a sharer in the divinity of God. You are absorbed into that which makes God to be what he is. Imagine that. You are like God. You possess, in a manner, infinite powers. The power to love and to know God just as he loves and knows himself. A power that no man on earth can even hope to understand, let alone to have. That's what you have. And the reason our Lord gives you all of this, makes you part of himself, is so that he may live in you, in order that he may extend his life inside of you. That's the purpose of the Holy Eucharist. I was telling the seminarians some days ago that what happens in the church every year in the liturgical life is that we, in a spiritual but real way, we relive all of the mysteries of faith, don't we? All of those mysteries that are absorbed into our Lord's flesh. What happens when the priest works out the liturgy is he taps into it. You see, it makes these mysteries present. So every year we go through them. We relive the life of Christ. The church undergoes a birth, a life, an agony, a death on Good Friday. The church comes alive again, as it were, on Easter Sunday. You experience all of these things if you have the faith and if you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You begin to experience that which our Lord did. You begin to understand what it means to be a victim. You begin to understand something of the priesthood, something of the redemption. Your sufferings in your own body that you experience, the pains in your back or in your legs, in your hands, all your headaches, your sicknesses, the pains of your heart, your mental anguish. All of these things, you see, are little by little transformed into our Lord's sufferings. Through them you begin to understand what our Lord experienced on the cross. You relive them. But you don't do it simply alone. You live in time. You don't live simply on a liturgical cycle. You live in history. So does the church, because you are the church. And so, through the Holy Eucharist, do you know what our Lord does? Until the end of time, in historical moments, each one of you relives our Lord's mysteries. The church at large does, and you are a part of it. You are, as I once explained it, you are like a little cross in a great cup. That's what your life is. Your life is the little crucifix. And someday, before the end of time, that cup of sufferings will be filled up to the end, to the brink. That cup through which other people will drink, people who are out of the church, people who will need the benefits that you accrue because you have tapped into the body of Christ. You know what you are? You are an extension of the Mass. That's what you are through Holy Communion. Our Lord pours out, as it were, the overflow of his precious blood and the grace of his body onto the rest of the world through the Holy Eucharist that each one of you receives. You become the overflow of our Lord's life. You are the image of the crucifix through Holy Communion. Others profit from your food, the food of the Blessed Sacrament. Others are one to God through your food. And so your little crucifix, which is your life, is placed into a big cup, just along with the crucifixes of other people's lives. That cup, you might say, is the body of Christ. It is the church. And someday, as the church goes through deaths and rebirths and anguish, just as our Lord renews all of his life's mysteries over and over again through each one of your lives as you live it in the world, you see what a sanctifying thing your life is? Someday, at the end, it will all be finished. Christ will be all in all, as it says. And then our Lord will come to take his body in the world to himself. And each one of you will share in the crown that our Lord enjoys at this moment. That's what is meant for you who receive the Holy Eucharist. It is a promise that you will receive of our Lord's benefits in heaven. That's why the Blessed Sacrament is so great. It is so beautiful. It is so lofty. It is so difficult to understand. It is so great to love. So we say then that our Lord comes to make you one with his body. He comes to make you relive his life, his passion, his death. And there is one last thing that our Lord comes to do, and that he comes not to do in the Holy Eucharist for all the church at large, purely. But on this level, he comes to do things individually, privately. He comes to be not only our guide in this life, but to be, above all things, our consoler. Just before our Lord died, he said, "I will not leave you orphans. I'm going away, but I will come back." The purpose of the Blessed Sacrament also is so that our Lord may be with us always, never to leave us. As long as the church is the church, so somewhere in this world there will be the Blessed Sacrament. Somewhere there will be the Holy Eucharist. Somewhere there will be a soul who will adore, who will believe. And you are those someones. You are those people. Our Lord wants to be in you in order to be your constant companion, in order to encourage you when you are sad. Who in this life is not sad? Who has not reason ever to be sad? All of us are sad now and again for many, many reasons. Some of them are little. Some of them are very great. Some of them justify your sadness. Do you know what I think of? I think of the time when our Lord rose from the dead. That same day, he didn't waste any time, you see. That same day, those two disciples were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they were sad because they had placed all their hope in our Lord who had died. All their aspirations had been destroyed. Our Lord walked with them. They did not know who he was. But after he left, they said, "Weren't our hearts burning because of the things he said to us?" They were greatly encouraged because of our Lord's real presence. Haven't you each experienced that when you received Holy Communion? How many times in the moments of great tribulation that you each have experienced from outside the world, just at the moment that the priest places the Holy Eucharist on your tongue, how often have you not experienced complete peace simply because God was there? You see, that's the purpose of the Blessed Sacrament. And he comes also, you see, to be with us in persecution. Is there a man in this world that does not have enemies? Is there a person sitting here who is liked by all men? Have you never experienced untrue and unkind words about you? And you know what I think of? Think of that story where the man was born blind. And our Lord said to him, "Receive your sight." And he received it. And then, because he was a faithful and loyal Christian after that, he was persecuted by the Jewish leaders. "You have been born in sin. Who are you to teach us anything?" And they threw him out of the temple. He was unjustly persecuted. And the story goes that our Lord went to him to find him. And he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And this man said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Who is he that I may believe in him?" And our Lord answered, "You have already seen him. It is I who speak with you." And simply because our Lord said that, it says, and falling down, he worshipped him. So much is the church impressed with those words that when the priest recites them at Mass in the Gospel, he also genuflects in memory of that act of adoration for the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It is precisely that which our Lord gives to you when you receive him. And are none of you ever troubled by your sins? Are none of you ever worried about your salvation? Have none of you ever been, as it were, in anguish over the pains of your conscience about what you have done in the past, what perhaps you are guilty of now? And just like our Lord's words to Saint Mary Magdalene, where she came to his real presence and washed his feet with her tears, our Lord, when he comes to you in Holy Communion, does not say those same words, but he communicates those same thoughts to you. "Your sins are all forgiven because I am with you. I am in you." That is the purpose of the Blessed Sacrament. What a great loss it is that people experience who do not know of this gift. You know it. But what a tragedy it is for people who have nothing like this in life. Their lives are completely empty because they know nothing of the Blessed Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. How much you should pray for those people at this Mass, that God, through each of you, reveal something of his presence to those who do not have anything in life. Their lives are empty because they have not the presence of God. The sin and the pain of unbelief is, I think, the greatest of all. And I think that is the reason why when our Lord was on the cross, he prayed for those people the most when he said, my God, have mercy on me. Why have you forsaken me?" That's the prayer of those who do not believe. And how often it is when people like you bring those who do not believe in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, how often it is that simply by one visit into a church by a person who does not believe is enough simply to give the gift of faith. This has happened over and over again. A gift that no man can give except God, and God often gives it through his own Blessed Sacrament. There have been many cases in the history of the church that this has happened. I hope someday that you are the instrument of that great grace to someone who does not believe. But if you are never that, at least you can make reparation to our Lord's heart on this day, who lives in the Blessed Sacrament, that you can ask our Lord to forgive those who neglect him in his Holy Eucharist, even among believers who demean, who ignore this greatest of all of the gifts of God, the Holy Eucharist. As you who appreciate the great gift that has been given not only to you as the church, but to you individually by this gift of the Blessed Sacrament, so must you pray for those who do not believe and whose faith is weak. You must restore in your own body for the loss that has been, as it were, extended to God of all so many souls who do not know the gift of God. Remember what they do not have and what you have. Do you believe in the Son of God? Yes, Lord, who is he that I may believe? You have already seen him. It is I who speak with you. Think too in your life, perhaps even at this moment, when you are experiencing perhaps the greatest of your doubts, the worst of your worries about your future, about your eternity, about maybe your family. Just by receiving the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord says to you the same words he said to those who loved him the most. Peace be to you. Do not fear. It is I. May God bless you.